WKJAN Sports.
Time for a look at sports. Good morning, I'm Jim Field. Our sports update this morning is brought to you by Southwest Foot and Ankle Center, your foot care specialists at Midwest Health Center in Atlantic. Well, in sports this morning, the 57th Annual Tournament of Champions Golf Tournament will get underway this morning at the Atlantic Golf and Country Club. The first groups will tee off at 8:30 this morning. Groups will be teeing off through the last group at 12:10 this afternoon. In all, there are 84 golfers registered to participate in this year's tournament. They are in three different brackets. There's a championship bracket with 52 golfers participating. There's also a senior division with 21 golfers participating. And the super senior division this year, which is still relatively new, has 11 golfers participating. In all, there are 9 past champions who are playing in this year's Tournament of Champions, including 2 of last year's champions, Chris Nelson of Atlantic, who was the overall championship division winner last year in the TFC, and John Holmes, the past champ in the super senior division from last year. They'll try to defend their titles as they open up here this morning. Nelson will tee off in the 8:50 group this morning. Holmes will tee off in the 10 o'clock grouping this morning. Lots of local flavor. Lots of golfers from around Southwest Iowa participating in this weekend's event. And that starts with the very first group of the morning. Zach Christensen and Jeff Goody, both of the Atlantic Golf and Country Club, along with Mike Martin of Nishna Hills and Blair Hoig, a native of this area out of the Ankeny Country Club, will all be in that first foursome going off at 8:30 this morning. We'll have live coverage all throughout the weekend for you here on KJAN at the Tournament of Champions, both from the clubhouse and from the course. Keep it tuned. Our first update will come just after the first group tees off this morning at 8:35. When Iowa State football coach Paul Rhodes looked at ways of bouncing back from a second straight disappointing season, he began in the locker room. Rhodes worked to rebuild the chemistry on the team after last year's 2-10 record that included a winless Big 12 mark.
It's intentional because it's been a large part of our focus, as well as the physical development and improvement of our kids. It was essential. It was necessary after some lapses in that chemistry that's necessary for a team to find success.
Rhodes says after the effort paid off, and it was one of the reasons that he's confident the Cyclones will make major strides this season.
We've had great leadership. We've had great team chemistry. The culture around this program is as strong as cultures I've been associated with as I enter my 27th year. In the recent past, we've had some hiccup in that regard. I've been outspoken about that. So we've rebuilt it, so to speak, and I'm very pleased with the rebuild.
Well, how much the Cyclones improve may rest with the development of the offensive line, as well as a thin and inexperienced core of running backs. Rhodes says another key will be how the Cyclones handle adversity. He also says the Cyclones have the talent they need to get back to a bowl game.
Now, how they mature, how intelligent they get as far as the game of football, how strong and confident they become. All those things now take off from here. But, yeah, August 6th, I like where we're at. And anxious to keep pushing them forward and elevate my feeling from where I am now till September 5th.
September 5th is the opener at home against UNI. Well, the Iowa State defense was bolstered today with the announcement that National Junior College Athletic Association first-team All-American defensive end Justin Thomas has enrolled at Iowa State. The Cyclones also welcome Marley Allison, a walk-on wide receiver who starred at Rochester CTC in 2014. Thomas, a redshirt junior, and Allison, a redshirt sophomore, will begin practicing with the team in fall camp, and they'll be eligible to compete for the Cyclones in 2015. A native of Atlanta, Georgia, Thomas was one of the top defensive recruits in the nation coming out of Columbia High School, where he received offers from Auburn, Clemson, Florida, Georgia, and Georgia Tech. As a three-star recruit, he was ranked as the 38th best defensive end in the nation by ESPN.com. The 6'6", 265-pounder attended Trinity Valley Community College in Athens, Texas, where he was named first-team All-American by the NJCAA and the defensive MVP for his conference in 2013. Thomas registered 55 tackles, 13.5 tackles for loss, and 12.5 sacks to help his team finish 10-2 with a number 5 national ranking in the final poll. Thomas originally signed with South Carolina in 2014, but he stayed at Trinity Valley during the 2014-15 season as a member of the basketball team. Allison, a native of Minneapolis, Minnesota, played one season at Rochester CTC in 2014 after an outstanding prep career in Edina, Minnesota. The 5'10", 190-pounder caught 69 passes for 1,139 yards and 14 touchdowns last season, ranking 5th in the NJCAA in both receiving yards and TD catches. He had six 100-yard receiving games on a team which won the conference title and played in the Graphic Edge Bowl. On to baseball now, where Michael Wacha gave the Cardinals' tired bullpen a respite by throwing seven innings in the rain on Thursday afternoon, and St. Louis pulled away to a 3-0 victory over the Cincinnati Reds, taking yet another series from its NL Central rival. The Cardinals improved to 30 games over 500 for the first time since the end of the 2013 season. They have the best record in the major leagues at 69-39. They took 2 of 3 in Cincinnati and have won 15 of their last 18 series together. The Reds were shut out for the last 18 innings. St. Louis pulled out the second game of the series on Randall Grichuk's homer in the 13th inning for a 4-3 win Wednesday. Wacha overcame a 68-minute rain delay at the start of yesterday's game and then gave his used-up bullpen a rest. Ian Kinsler hit a 2-run homer off Ryan Madsen in the 9th inning to give the Detroit Tigers an 8-6 victory over the Kansas City Royals Thursday. Jose Iglesias led off with a single against Madsen before Kinsler hit a 2-0 fastball into the bullpen in left field. Alex Wilson got the win after getting out of a bases-loaded jam in the 9th inning. That game was delayed for several minutes when a squirrel ran onto the field and ran around for a while. It briefly ended up in the Tigers' dugout and then raced out into left field before disappearing. Elsewhere in the league, the Toronto Blue Jays will be just 4.5 games off the AL East lead when they begin a 3-game set against the New York Yankees tonight in the Bronx. The Jays picked up their 5th consecutive win as Edwin Encarnacion hit a 2-run homer and had 4 RBIs in a 9-3 rout of Minnesota. The Twins dropped to 500, and they stay 9.5 back of the AL Central leading Royals. The Yankees took the rubber game of their nationally televised series with Boston thanks to a former Red Sox hero. Jacoby Ellsbury smacked a tie-breaking solo homer in the 7th inning to push the Yanks past the Bo Sox 2-1. Elsewhere around baseball, Jed Lowrie hit an RBI double off Edward Mujica with 2 outs in the 10th inning to make up for a costly error, and the Houston Astros beat the Oakland Athletics 5-4. Zach Greinke was 3-for-3 with a solo homer and 3 runs scored as the Los Angeles Dodgers beat the Philadelphia Phillies by a 10-8 final. The Dodgers lead the National League West by 3 games after the second-place Giants fell to the Cubs 5-4 in Chicago. Rookie Kyle Schwarber belted a 3-run homer that puts the Cubs up 5-0 in the second inning. The Cubs also moved a half game ahead of San Francisco in the battle for the final National League wildcard berth. Clint Robinson belted a 3-run homer, and Bryce Harper reached base 5 times as Washington posts an 8-3 win over Arizona. Atlanta blew an 8-5 lead in the 8th inning before Yuri Perez singled home the tie-breaking run to lead the Braves past Miami 9-8. And Chris Davis hit a pair of 3-run homers to highlight Milwaukee's 10-1 pounding of San Diego. And the Iowa wrestling team will host Oklahoma State in the first NCAA wrestling match to be held in a Division I football stadium. The Hawkeyes will face the Cowboys on November 14th at Kinnick Stadium for Grapple on the Gridiron, an effort to break the record for the largest crowd for a single match. It's currently held by Penn State at nearly 16,000. Iowa's football team will host rival Minnesota in Kinnick later on that evening. Iowa announced the event on Twitter, saying that they were excited to introduce cowboy wrestling to Hayden Fry Psychology. Of course, they posted a picture of Iowa's pink visiting locker room. Fry was Iowa's football coach from 1979 to 1998. The Hawkeyes and the Cowboys have a combined 57 national titles. That's Check of Sports this hour, brought to you by Southwest Foot and Ankle Center. Call Dr. Andrew Stanislav at 800-334-5516. I'm Jim Field, KJAN Sports.